And here we are again, apparently. Hang on. Yes, we are continuing now in the book Freedom Under the Law of Yahweh by Bill Schultz. He spells his last name S-H-U-L-T-S. S-H-U-L-T-S. And I'm going to pop the microphone into the mic stand here. And as it rattles away... And we're going to page about halfway through the book here, page 54. And we're going to be reading there for you during this second night, the Feast of Tabernacles, in the year 2010. What a wonderful book available from GiveShare.org. We talked about that disobedience to the Torah is not proof of your salvation. We talked about the mercy of our Messiah. Oh, what a fantastic concept and truth. The mercy of Yahweh. That was on page 51. We did Help Me, Lord, page 53. Now we're going to up to page 61, The Yoke of Sin. You could get the book and read the rest of that there. A lot of interesting information. And we're using... as far as we know, the actual names for the Messiah and not the substitutes. Page 61. And I call that the law of circumcision versus the Torah. Maybe that would apply here. So in his letter to the Galatians, Apostle Paul compares and contrasts the need for pardon for a transgression of the Torah with our need to live by the Torah. Messiah set us free from sin, therefore do not sin again, but do not ever believe that your law-keeping will justify you with Yahweh. It is for freedom that Messiah has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I, Paul, mark my words, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Messiah will be of no value to you at all. Oh, and I would remind you on a footnote that circumcision is a healthy practice. If you're uncircumcised, you would be unhealthy. A ceremonial circumcision is of no benefit that I know of. I was told you have to be ceremonially circumcised in order to be a resident and member in good standing there in Jerusalem. But... I would not go along with that. I would not allow them to examine me or perform any kind of an operation there. I'm already circumcised. And I'm circumcised in the heart. That's the main thing. Messiah did that. And that would agree with Romans chapter 2, verses 22 and 3. Who is a Jew? But he is circumcised in the heart and not... I would add, not necessarily, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Paul continues, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Messiah. You've fallen away from unmerited favor. And then skipping down, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. Galatians 5, 1 through 14. Our clue is in the phrase freedom that Messiah has set us free. The yoke of slavery comes from sin, which is the transgression of Yahweh's law. Freedom comes from living under law. Every citizen in the free world should understand that. It is no different in religion than in politics. The other clue is in who kept you from obeying the truth. Who kept you from obeying the truth? Paul asks. Yahweh's word is truth. John 17, 17. Thy word is truth. So the Torah is Yahweh's word, spoken to Moses, face to face. He spoke face to face. The law is summed up in a single command. A summary is composed of many addends. The statutes, pardon me while I try to turn the page here with one hand, the statutes, the judgments, decrees, and commandments in the law of Yahweh are all summed up in the word love. Yahweh is love, 1 John 4:8, so it should be no surprise that the sum of Yahweh's law is love. Messiah affirmed the law of Yahweh in the Sermon on the Mount. Not only did he affirm that the law is the way of life for his disciples, he went even further to proclaim the law of Yahweh as the basis for the believer's reward in the kingdom of heaven. Messiah said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Unless your righteousness surpasses them. That was Matthew 5:17-20. Not only does Messiah say that his Torah is not done away, he says that your reward in the kingdom is based on your Torah observance. So what kind of reward are you looking for in the kingdom of Yahweh? Least or greatest? If you're looking for a good reward from before Messiah and the judgment, then you better start living by Yahweh's law. Heaven and earth have not passed away, so his law is still in effect. Pharisees were serious about the law of Yahweh, so if you want to enter into the kingdom, you had better get serious. Besides, your liberty is defined in the law of Yahweh. Your rights are detailed by Messiah, who wrote the Torah. It's in the Torah. Why wouldn't you want to live it? Who wants to abandon the Constitution? Well, I know of one U.S. government president who does. Who wants to abandon the Bill of Rights? It might be the Democrats and most of the Republicans. I'm answering here my own notes. The bill says, "We openly acknowledge the civil authority, so why do we reject the divine authority?" We openly acknowledge civil authority. You know, many of our pastors and Messianic and, you know, Baptist or whatever, they are so caught up in that the government is of utmost importance. They are the last word. Our employer is the last word. Well, Pastor, I hope that's not you. The bill says, "We openly acknowledge the civil authority. Why do we reject the divine authority? Especially when that authority guarantees our life, liberty, and happiness." Apostle Paul also affirms that the law of Yahweh is an important part of every believer's future judgment. "All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law." Romans 2:12. "For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in Yahweh's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous." If you're supposed to be Messiah-like, then we had better get after it. Believers, return to the Torah. He says, "We have all sinned and transgressed the Torah. Some of you have never even heard that you were supposed to live by the Torah since you have been saved. I really hope that you took Messiah's words to heart in Matthew 5. If you will submit to the Messiah, you will transform your life into his image. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Messiah was raised from the dead through the esteem of the Father, we too may live a new life." Romans 6:4. The Father wants to create that new life in you today. In order to do that, we have to yield our will to his will. His stated legal written will is that we live by his law. Messiah lived the law perfectly, and he died so that you could have the freedom to live by Yahweh's law through the power of his Spirit. He did not intend for you to go out and live like the heathen. The heathen, the walking, talking advertisement of the kingdom of Yahweh that you should be, is to live by the law of Yahweh like Messiah did. Again, his legal written will is that we should live by his law. It is the law that gives perfect freedom. If we come out of the waters of immersion and live like the sinners, then what was the point? And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. 2 Corinthians 5. We're supposed to come out from the water of immersion and live like Messiah lived? Yes, and that means living by the law of Yahweh. The law is recreating your life in the life of his son. His son is not a lawbreaker. Yahweh's son did not, does not, and will not live like the heathen. If Messiah lives in you, the spirit of Yahweh in you envies intensely to live by the law of Yahweh. If Messiah lives in you. The spirit that dwells in every believer is the power of Yahweh to transform your life into the image of the Father. And 2 Corinthians 3, we who were with unveiled faces all reflect Yahweh's esteem are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing esteem, which comes from Yahweh, who is the Spirit. Skipping to the last paragraph, Messiah always lived by the law of Yahweh, so this transformation process should, nay, must, include living by the law of Yahweh. His likeness is not according to the ways of this world, but is according to the ways of his Father in heaven. Therefore, our likeness should reflect the ways of our Father in heaven. The Torah, or the law of Yahweh, represents his way on earth, among men made of mud. Too many believers want the name without the work, and too many Christians want the name without the work. We like the talk, but we don't want to walk the walk, and that walk is by the Torah or the law of Yahweh. We want to be known as great people of Yahweh, but we don't want our lives transformed by the power of the Spirit. The granting of the Spirit into the life of a believer is a foreign act of the Father. John 1, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of Yahweh, children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of Yahweh. Unquote. We need the Spirit of Yahweh so that we can become the children of Yahweh. Yahweh gave his law for our happiness. His children will not rebel his rules for living. But like our Father in heaven, we will want to live by live the way of life embodied in them. Acts 3:19 in the book of Acts. Repent then and turn to Yahweh so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from Yahweh, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Messiah, even Yahawahusha. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for Yahweh to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his pure prophets. So we must repent. In verse 19, the word for repent means to return to the law of Yahweh. To receive the times of refreshing, we need to return to Torah. We need to accept our culpability in the death of Messiah and seek the forgiveness that comes from it. When we do, our transgressions of Torah are wiped out. We obtain that wonderful refreshing from the pure Spirit. We cannot experience this while we continue to transgress the Torah. The restoration of all things is the restoration of the Torah as the law of the world. We need to turn from violating the law of Yahweh and return to the ways of Yahweh. Reading on page 670, transgressing the Torah is wickedness. Messiah came to pay the penalty, but he fully expects us to return to the Torah after he pays. When Yahweh raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Acts 3:26. And he is not quoting from the King James Version in any of these passages here that I would prefer. But we know what the King James says, and we can pick it up and study it on our own. That turning from wickedness is returning to the Torah. The Messiah was sent to earth to turn each of us back to Torah. This law of Yahweh is how he will rule the earth during the millennial reign. The whole purpose of the favor from Yahweh by the death of Messiah is to get you to live by the law of Yahweh, by the word. That way of life is called the way. Do your ways match the way? Also on page 70, as we wind it up there, much is made of Cornelius, the first Gentile to receive the Ruach HaKadosh, or the Spirit. We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. He is a righteous and Yahweh-fearing man. And Acts 10:22. I want to point out that the term Yahweh-fearing, or Bill puts God-fearing, is a technical term meaning that Cornelius was attached to a Jewish synagogue. What? What do you mean here, Bill? And then he paid tithes to that synagogue. He followed the dietary laws. He kept the Sabbath day, and he observed the feast days. So a Yahweh-fearer was only one step short of a proselyte. These practices from the foundation of the way, or these practices form the foundation of the way. It is the basic way of life found in the law of Yahweh. It is no accident that the first Gentile to receive the Ruach HaKadosh walked in this way of life. If you seek the face of Yahweh, if you love for a restoration of apostolic power, then you need to return to that way of life known as the way. Cornelius is the model for the Gentile believer. He is the Gentile convert to the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. He is the Gentile convert that we all claim as our basis for joining the faith, there in Acts 10:22, that Spirit-filled centurion. And he kept those parts of Yahweh's law appropriate for those living in the land of outside of the land. All of us need to live by the Torah, and that includes Sabbath observance, feast day observance, dietary law observance, and tithing. There are other rules for living as well, but these tenets form the basis for a believer's life in the Messiah. GiveShare.org has these, and like I say, it's total price will be around $10, I think. There, I think it's $9 for the book and $1.50 for shipping or something. It's not really that much, but it's been a real blessing. It's been discouraging to me for some Sabbath keepers who won't read this book because of some excuse or another. And one of the excuses I heard was that, well, he doesn't use the King James. He's using another version of Scripture. But, you've got your own version of Scripture. You can read that at home on your own. You can get it out and read it for yourself in what you believe to be Yahweh's Word. And hopefully that's from the Antioch Scrolls, not the Alexandrian Scrolls. So that would be in line with the King James Version or reasonable facsimile. And then it's easier to guard Yahweh's word, to obey his commandments. And, for those who've used these different titles and names, I started out as a Roman Catholic, an altar boy, back in the 1950s, and I, just grew one thing to another. I was saved in the 70s, around 1974, and we were with the Nazarene faith there, a Western, or strictly a totally a Western religion, Western American religion, but we saved by the Messiah, delivered from our sins, and we use these different titles and things. I suppose when I was an infant, what name did I use then for our Almighty? Yah-Yah up there. I wouldn't have known. And then I started using the title G-O-D and J-E-S-U-S when I started to, be able to read and understand what people were telling me in English. And then I, after being saved and filled with the Spirit and understanding that Yahweh's law is legitimate, as in effect for a believer, about 20 years ago, then grew into, I first used Yahweh, as That's the way it was taught to me, without any evidence or credentials, without actually looking it up in any dictionaries or anything, or being told that that Hebrew was only using vowels and no consonants and things. You know, I wasn't told any of that, but then later on began to study into it further, and here we have practically 30 different dictionaries and Jewish dictionaries and references to prove that the V came first, that Yahweh came first. It does matter how you spell his name. And we've got that evidence on our website, which hopefully you know is YahvahYahweh.com, and also YahvahNotYahweh.com. YahvahYahweh.com. Hopefully that'll work for you. And I appreciate your tuning into the broadcast today, and hopefully that the book will be a blessing for you. People have so many excuses, you know, not to do this and not to do that, but I just want to grow in the Messiah, and, you know, it's like I'm always on an island, a desolate, isolated island, I guess. It, you know, even though I have believers around me, and I have my wife, Penny, and such a beautiful time we have under the law of Yahweh, being forgiven by his mercy and his unmerited favor. We have that freedom. You know, but I can read things, I can read different books, because I am mature enough to be able to discern if there's something I don't agree with or I think is wrong. And psychologically, I can correct that as I read. If I see a word that's not right, I just I mentally change that as I'm reading, and it's just very logical and obvious, and pray that the Spirit will bless us as we grow in Messiah, and not drum up excuses as to why we're not going to do this or that, and then we wind up really not doing anything or not helping ourselves, not helping others. We're not growing. We just want to be a stick in the mud, teetotaling some kind of a believer, which to me is an unbeliever, if we don't want to grow, you know. But, well, maybe I'm judging. But how can anybody, you know, if we're not growing, we're dying. So how could anybody be alive and Messiah, filled with the Spirit, if they're not growing? Yeah, I don't know. I guess takes all kinds. No, I don't agree with that either, because when we get to be with Messiah physically, and you know, in a few years when he comes, or whenever that time is, it will not just be the expression "it takes all kinds." You know, we're not going to have sinners and who are deep in sin, blaspheming his name and violating all of his commandments and murdering, and it won't take all kinds in order to make up all the residents of the kingdom of Yahweh in New Jerusalem. But that's my personal opinion and not the opinions of this radio station or its staff or management, necessarily. Thanks again for joining us on Yahweh Not Yahweh. This is Stefan Yah. Shalom to you. Thank you very much. Be sure and email us when you get a chance and encourage us a little bit. So keep the file short here and let everybody get to bed. And Shalom, the Feast of Tabernacles here. Coming to a continuation tonight as we sleep during this part for us on this side of the world. And on the other side, I want to wave to you over there. I know you'll never see me, because you might hear this 10 years later, but thanks for joining me once again, Stefan Yah here. And more blessings and praise and Hallelujahs to everyone. Shaloms to everybody.